True that. It is the Jim Rome Show, starring the host of the Jim Rome Show, Jim Rome. Just third-personing things. What's up? Welcome to the program. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, then Rocket can. It's going to be a good third hour. Coming up next segment, Rams safety, Terrell Burgess, Rams, Bucks, one of the divisional matchups. So I'm anxious to get to that. In addition to that, some of your reaction. But as promised, we are joined right now by a guard for the University of Houston, 2021 academic, all Big 12 first team, all Big 12 honorable mention, AAC player of the week for the 10th week of this season, coming off a game where he had 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists in a win over South Florida. Houston, 16-2 this season. They are number 10 in both polls. They're at home against East Carolina tomorrow night. Kyler Edwards is my guest. Kyler, it's good to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. It is good to have you. So I mentioned you beat South Florida. Let me start right there, Kyler. Tuesday night, that's 8 wins in a row overall. It extended the third longest home winning streak in the country. So what is the vibe like around the team right now? How do you feel about the way the guys are playing?
I think we're in a good rhythm right now overall just because of how we're meshing together. And I think we just really genuinely just like playing the game together. So, I mean, that's just a plus for us as a team.
Rhythm is a good word. I was going to ask you about that because you had a career-high 29 Saturday, and then you chased that with 23-7 on Tuesday. Do you feel like you're at a point right now where you're in such a rhythm that it feels like pretty much everything is going to go in?
Oh, yeah. I think I was getting a pretty good rhythm before my ankle injury. Against Texas State, I thought I had a really good, you know, shooting night. But, you know, just getting back in the gym and taking care of my business, you know, doing them individual workouts, you know, going hard in them. You know, I think I get a good rhythm right now. And I think my team is looking for me a lot. So.
Kyler Edwards joining us.
Give the credit to them.
Yeah, you know what I was going to say? Excuse me, you mentioned the injury. I was going to ask you about that a little bit later on, but since you brought it up, I want to ask you. And from the outside, it seems pretty clear to me that if you're going to play through something like that, and you did play through something like that, in part that's got to be because of the teammates you just mentioned, right? How strongly you feel about them. If you're playing through the pain, you didn't want to stay away. Like, how did you go about doing that, playing through it, and why was that so important to you?
Okay, so the injury is I had a grade 2 sprain and I had some ligament tears, but so that is usually like 4 to 6 weeks sit out. That's just sitting there, you know, not doing anything. But I mean, I seen the team and I love these guys so much that, you know, I wanted to get out there, you know, do anything I could to help them. So my first game come back, I didn't think I was gonna play that much, but I ended up playing a lot of minutes. But I mean, I was just excited to be out there. And right now my ankle is getting better right now. So as we speak, I just love playing with you guys.
I like that. I figured that was it. Kyler Edwards joining us. Now the fact is you've been playing at a really high level, an elite level, since you arrived in college, including going to the Final Four as a freshman. So this is a situation where consciously you've said, I mean, or is it consciously where you say I've got to get this team on my back, or maybe is it just how the offense is flowing through you right now?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think I just give credit to my teammates. You know, they know what I can do. They've been seeing me since the summer. So, I mean, they know my game, and they know where my spots are. So, I mean, they're looking for me. I'm looking for them as well. So, I mean, we're just really meshing right now, like I said.
You know, you were playing for Chris Beard at Texas Tech prior to the season, and then you entered the transfer portal, which is always really interesting. What made you decide to look around, and then what was that process like for you?
I really just wanted to, you know, take a chance on myself, you know, you know, Coach Sampson and the coaching staff really believed in me. And I already had a relationship with those guys from high school. You know, they recruited me since I was a sophomore year, since my sophomore year of high school. And I scrimmaged them every year as well with Texas Tech versus Houston. We scrimmaged every year. And last year we actually got to play them in a real game. So, I mean, you know, I already knew the culture here. I already knew the coaching staff, so I just already was familiar with them. So, I mean, I already trusted them with my career. my last year.
Hey, let me ask you something, Colorado. Like, you had a familiarity, right? Like, you knew those guys, and you kind of knew them on a certain level, and you're not afraid of hard work now. However, and even if you say you knew the culture, the thing about Kelvin, and that's my guy right there, I love Kelvin Sampson, but I've never played for him, but I know he's tough, and I know he's demanding. Did you know what you were getting into? You might be thriving in that right now, but until you're actually in it and living it, do you know what the hard work involves and what the demands require?
Right. At first, I knew he was a great coach, a hard nosed coach. But I mean, he just wanted the best for his guys. I mean, he loves everybody on the team. He just wanted the best for them. So just being under that coach, and just knowing that he got your back at all times, it gives you confidence as a player.
Now, there's no doubt he cares about his guys. He's going to be very demanding of his guys, but he does care about his guys. Guys who are in the program talk about the fact that Kyler, it usually takes new players a month or two to get used to how hard those practices are. Fabian White said, quote, "We do a lot of stuff that a lot of guys are not used to," end of quote. You were coming from a program, though, that valued defense and working hard. So what was that transition like for you? Were you better prepared coming in than a lot of guys would be?
I was prepared, but, I was just still new. Like, I was pretty much a freshman at the beginning. I mean, I didn't know what was going on, how the practice was going to go. So I was pretty much just following the leaders like Fade at first, just listening to whatever they got to say so I can fall in and fit in.
All right, so let me underline this. We're talking about a program that went to the Final Four last season and then lost a bunch of talent and then lost players to injury this year, yet you're in the top 10 right now and you're in the thick of it for a national championship. So what's that say about the program and culture and then all the talent and heart that you guys have in that locker room?
The culture is very strong here. I mean, you have no choice but to get with it or get out of it. So, I mean,
I love that.
So with the players we have right now, we have a lot of good pieces still. Even though we have two of our best players out for the season, we still have a lot of more pieces, and that's just credit to the coaching staff and how they put us in different situations.
Dude, you got no choice but to get with it or get out of it. I actually like that. I respect that. Now, you were also a key part of that Texas Tech team that went to the Final Four and was this close to winning the entire thing. You played big minutes in the championship game. What do you recall about that experience, and then how badly does that make you want to get back there?
I'll say that was probably the best experience I had in college basketball, just going up there and having that experience off the court or on the court. I mean, that was just the best experience I had completely. But, ever since we've been there, I've been trying to get there every year. I'm hungry for it, and I think we have a real chance this year. And Coach knows it, Coach sees it, and we have an understanding that, we both trying to do the same thing. That's winning that championship.
Now, earlier this season, you scored your 1,000th career point. It's a really big number. It's a great milestone. What did it mean to you to reach that? And as somebody who grew up in Arlington, what did it mean to do it in a game that took place in the DFW?
Yeah, just scoring that 1,000th point, I mean, it was just a milestone for, like, all the hard work you done put in as a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Yeah, it's just like a whole bunch of milestones checked off. But and to do it in front of my home crowd, I had my family there. I had a lot of friends there. It was just a lot of love after the game.
So, Kyler, I could keep talking to you about all these great games you've had, but, the shots don't always go down, right? You had a rough shooting night against Wichita State where you went 1-for-14, but you kept shooting it. And Kelvin Sampson pointed out that you were great defensively. What was that game like for you, and then how were you able to keep battling on the other end of the floor and not let the missed shots get to you and get inside your head?
Well, I don't really define my game as just being like just a shooter or being a scorer. I mean, I like to do other things like pass, assist, or anything to help the team out. So, I mean, that night my shot wasn't falling, but I still can't let that affect the other end of the court, which is playing defense. So I got to bring that every night regardless of if I'm hitting or if I'm missing. So defense, I really took pride in that night.
Every night. One last thought on that, because a lot of guys in your position who want to focus on offense or could focus on offense could kind of just try to get by with the bare minimum of defense. Now, I know Kelvin, he's not going to have any of that, but how would you describe your mindset, your particular mindset defensively?
I'm going to tell you a story. When I got into college.
Yeah, do that. Tell me a story, man. I need a story.
So when I got in college, you know, Coach, I didn't know too much about Coach Beard and, you know, Texas Tech, you know, defense and stuff. So, come out of high school, everybody wants to be a scorer and everything. And he told me the only way I could get on the court is to play defense. And I never played defense before, so I mean, I wanted to be on the court bad. I ain't want to sit my first year, or I ain't want to get like minimum playing time. So, I mean, I worked hard as I could to really understand how to lock down the opposing team best player, and I just kept working.
That, by the way, that's a great story. I had never played defense before, but I wanted to make sure I got on the floor. Hey, Kyler, in no way do I want to disrespect Kelvin, because he's one of my favorite guys, but so is Chris Beard. I mean, these literally are two of my favorite coaches ever. Do you have any other Chris Beard stories that you need to share?
Okay, I got one for you. So, you know, as a freshman, you know, you don't know any better. You're just trying to, you know, fit in and stuff, so I wore two different color shoes for the game, you know, just being like, you know, a freshman, just young. So he gets me off the bench and tells me to go to the locker room and change my shoes, and I had to come back out. So I mean, that was middle of the game. He could tell you that too. But yeah, that was just a funny story. Now I'm looking back at it.
That is great, dude. That's another great story. So of those two guys, man, these guys are both so hard nosed. Who's tougher, Kelvin or Chris Beard?
I really don't even know the answer to that one. But they're both great coaches and both tough in their own way, and they both expect the best out of you.
Hey, can I tell me I'm wrong, but because I'm not wrong, they both care about the player, though, right?
Oh, most definitely, they'll do anything for you.
Kyler Edwards, he is a 2021 academic All Big 12 first teamer. Hey, by the way, what does that mean to you to be an academic All Conference player?
That's just, I do it for my parents, you know, the academic side and the basketball side too, but mostly academic because, you know, they done put all the hard work in, you know, seeing me going through all the training and all the, you know, the test tutors and all that. So, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, repay them by getting the grades in school.
Dude, what do you think they're more proud of, your work in the classroom or your work on the floor?
Oh, I mean, I really can't tell you. It's probably both.
I got you. All right. He is a University of Houston guard. Had a good time. Good conversation. Kyler, appreciate you. Good job, man. Good stuff. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Kyler Edwards, good player. I love a guy who's got a story or two, especially about two of my favorite guys, Chris Beard and Kelvin Sampson. Both great coaches and both guys who have long jungle histories. All right. 1-800-636-8686. They lost a lot of guys off last year's team, and they're banged up, and they've had some adversity, and Kelvin's got them right where they are, number 10 in both polls. I loved Kyler saying that when he got to Tech, he had never played defense before is awesome. And Chris Beard not caring. You know, Chris Beard saying, hey, listen, you want to get on the floor? You want to play as a freshman? Then you had best play some defense. If you know anything about Chris Beard, you know you had best play some defense. If you know anything about Kelvin Sampson, you know you had best play some defense. And by the way, hitting the glass is not a bad idea either. Appreciate this guy, Mike and La Quinta. I'd give you a pretty hard, I'll admit it, a pretty hard pitch for the side hustle and the side hustle to the side hustle. He says, hey, Jim, I have been listening to the side hustle for a while now. A few favorites have been Mark Devine, Michael Franzis, and now Molly Bloom. I had never heard her story before. After listening to her episode, I watched the movie, and after that, I bought her book. Thank you for the great content on the pod, Mike and La Quinta. You know, you're not the first one to say that. I'm kind of shocked that as many of you have not heard of Molly Bloom or saw her movie. Her movie is incredible, Molly's Game. And Molly Bloom, really quickly, the synopsis of that, Molly Bloom was an Olympic skier, or was going to be an Olympian, and she was one of the best skiers in North America. Her brother's Jeremy Bloom, remember him, football player, great skier. Molly had this terrible, terrible wreck in Olympic qualifying that ended her career. She was going to go to law school, decided she wanted to come to LA and hang out for about a year, take a sabbatical, or as she puts it, want to be in the warm weather. And she got a job working as an assistant for a club owner who was running underground poker games. Molly learned the business, started her own game, and it became literally the biggest poker game in the world with celebrities, and she got all caught up. The mob was after her. The feds were after her. It is an incredible story. So look for that. That's the Side Hustle to the Solid Side Hustle. The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. Molly Bloom was my guest last week. I'm shocked that you don't know who that is. But if you don't, you want to hear this because you want to watch her movie. She's awesome. Absolutely awesome. That's what he's talking about. This guy too, Eric in the South Side. Don't take Jim's word for it. Take mine. I went back to back with Molly Bloom and Steve Young on my roadie yesterday. Next level. Do the right thing, clones. I appreciate that so much. Hey, listen, I do this show every single day. We do this show every single day. But this podcast thing, you know, it's not some like some bull crap that is supliferous that we're just kind of like throwing this out there. We work that as hard as we work this. It's more content. I'm trying to produce and push as much content as I can. And the podcasts are different than this. They're long form. They're cool. They're interesting. So check it out. Or if he's like this, have this. WNY water cooler. Welp, it was a fun season, but I guess the Bills have no shot now. Nothing can reverse a hexy poo.
Hexy poo, hexy poo, I put a hex on you.
Regards, I'm rubber, you're glue. That hexy poo bounces off of me and sticks onto you. It's actually pretty well done. Like I said, I've got a little something for everybody. Different platforms for different folks. When we come back, take a look ahead of the Rams and the Bucks. Terrell Burgess, Rams safety, is joining us. Rams are playing their best ball when it matters most, if you ask me. That's next. Still ahead, Albie's week that was. I need some ATPs. Ask me a question heading into the weekend. What do you want to know? Ask me anything at all. All of that. Still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome in Southern California. Hurry up clock. Hurry up clock. Get us to that divisional weekend. Joining us right now to talk about one of the matchups and his career, a safety for the LA Rams. He had 5 tackles in Monday's win over Arizona. 10 tackles in the past 2 weeks. He played his college ball at Utah. He was the 104th pick overall in 2020. I mentioned it. Rams at Tampa Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Going to be a great, great game. Terrell Burgess is my guest. Terrell, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Great to have you on. Thanks for making time for us. Listen, I know you're focused on that game. Yeah, it's good to have you. I know you're focused on that game on Sunday, but if you could, can you take a moment and go back to Monday night? I'm curious. That was your first playoff start of your entire career. So what was running through you prior to that game? Emotionally, what did that feel like?
I don't think I got nervous until like right before the game started, but once I got on the field, I was fine. But yeah, I'd say I was probably a little nervous once the game started because it was a little wilder than usual in there, and SoFi Stadium's already a loud stadium. So once it started rocking right before kickoff, it was a nervous feeling, but it was a good feeling. So I'm happy I got to go through that.
Dude, speaking of how loud that place was, in the build up to that game, you were talking about how much you were looking forward to playing a playoff game in front of your hometown fans. Watching at home, and I talked to some people in the building. I didn't go to that particular game, but it seemed loud. I mean, really, really loud. As a player, how did it feel to you? And then what did that mean to you?
It was really cool. I think it's always a great testament to how great of fans you have when they like to show up every week for your home games and, you know, play and scream loud, especially on third down when we're on defense and going against the other team. I think it's always a great feeling knowing that they're cheering for you and they're willing to help you rattle the offense as well as you do.
Yeah, and they were rattled, which I'll get to. Terrell Burgess joining us. I mean, as a defense, you jumped on them early on, and you didn't allow a first down until the second quarter, and before you know it, you're up 28-0 before they scored. What was the key to shutting down their offense?
Well, a big part of their offense is their quarterback. He's very dynamic. He can run. He can pass. He makes a lot of plays with his feet, and I think a big part of what we were trying to do were contain him, keep him in the pocket, make sure he doesn't create, I guess you can say, longer plays with his feet. So that was a big point. And then stopping the run. They've been doing really well at the run this year, so that was another big point of emphasis going into the game on Monday.
That makes sense. Terrell Burgess joining us. So what about this week of practice? What's it been like in preparation for Tampa Bay?
It's been great. It's always great to get another opportunity to play the game, especially in the playoffs when the crowd's going to be rocking wherever you are. So practice has been great this week. We're excited to be able to another opportunity to go down to Tampa and play them again like we did last year, and hoping to come out with a win.
Yeah, let me ask you this. It seemed like for a while people were not really paying much attention to the job that D coordinator Raheem Morris was doing this season. Now that's starting to change, and once again his name is coming up as a possible head coach again. In your opinion, what makes him effective as a leader and as a schematic coach?
I think it may not even be what it is, what he does, like in regards to football, but I think it's just him as a human being, him as a person. He's just one of those guys you love to play for. You love to be able to be around him, and as well as when it comes to football, he's definitely really smart when it comes to defensive scheme and how he approaches each game week. So I think he's just a great person, and I love being able to play for him.
I think that's really interesting what you just said, that you jumped right to. It's not even necessarily scheme, which he's strong at. It's the kind of person he is, the human being that he is. I want to skip ahead to something. Like, you had a significant injury, and you were going through rehab, but everybody around you was talking about how upbeat you were, how positive you were, that you were constantly supporting your teammates. You told The Athletic, quote, "I really do believe that I'm a humanitarian first and a football player second. Obviously, I love football, but I don't want to be known as just a football player. If I can impact somebody else's life in any way, that's more important to me." I mean, normally, normally when you play the way you play, at the level you play to get to where you are, you got to be all in, and it's almost always all about football, but that's not what I'm hearing. Where did this perspective, this outlook that you have come from?
That's a great question. People ask me that all the time. I don't know. I think I've always been that way since probably like middle school or high school. I've always been one that liked to do what I can to help others. And I think it's grown over the years. And now I really believe that's who I am today. And I plan to continue to grow in that aspect of my life.
Tremendous. Terrell Burgess joining us. Now, the secondary has lost a number of guys due to injury over the past few weeks. As a result, they brought back my dude, Eric Weddle. I've always had a tremendous relationship with him. I've got to ask you, what's it like having the fellow SoCal and Utah legend back on the team after he had been out of the league for a couple of years?
Oh, it's great. I definitely have always considered him like a mentor, especially, you know, from San Diego to Utah and now with the Rams. Well, I consider him a mentor, and now him being my teammate right now, it's pretty great. He's a smart human being, and I love being able to, you know, share a meeting room and in the field with him.
All right, so like Weddle, you played your college ball at Utah. Again, I've got tremendous respect for Kyle Whittingham and for the program. What was it like to play there, and then what was your biggest takeaway from your time in the program?
Well, first off, I guess I can't go without saying that it's definitely different weather there than it is in San Diego. We'll start with
that. I know that.
So that was interesting, but it was great. I think we have a great program out there in Utah, and I'm blessed to be able to have spent my 4 years there and, you know, made it to the NFL. I think that they're definitely on the rise, and they're definitely going to be a school and a team to check out over these next few years.
There's no doubt. Like, I used to talk to Steve Smith about that as well. You know, an L.A. guy went to Utah. I don't think people understand. Like, we are Southern California natives. People like you and I, we are used to a certain way of life when it comes to weather. What was that like that first year as a freshman when you got there and you're like, dude, the wintertime, man, it is bitterly cold?
Oh, it was very interesting. But I definitely, you know, I couldn't complain too much because it was a decision that I made going there. But it was a lot of fun. I think the coldest it got my freshman year, I think, was like 15 degrees, and we practiced outside. So that was a cold day. But we also had an indoor, so there were still days where we practiced inside. But it was really cold, but I don't think I would change my decision for the world.
No, I would imagine. It makes you better, and it makes you tougher, and you learn to deal with the elements. Terrell Burgess joining us. I want to ask you, in terms of, like, adversity and dealing with things, last year was a tough year in the sense that you came in as a rookie, and you were starting to find your rhythm. And, in fact, you were having your most productive game of the year when you broke your ankle. What was it like then to get to the NFL, to start to carve out a name and a spot for yourself, and then miss the rest of the season, even if you know injury is part of the game?
I think it was really tough. I think when I was going through it, I didn't realize how tough it was until maybe once. I think the first day I was able to walk was probably one of the most emotional days I had over the past year. And I think that that's when I realized like I had really like gone through something. I think when I first broke my ankle, I was still really positive. And throughout the whole recovery process, I was positive. But I think that the first day I was able to walk was a big moment for me. And I'm just grateful that I had a great support system around me. And, you know, now I'm up running and walking and playing the best of my abilities again.
Well, explain that, though. Like, how long did it take you to be able to get to walk for that first day? And what went into getting to that day? Why was that so emotional? Obviously, because of the work that went into it.
I think a lot of times we as humans, we kind of take for granted the different things that a lot of people are not able to do, like speaking correctly, or even just walking. It's such like a natural thing when you get out of bed. So I think it was about 12 weeks before I was able to put any pressure on my on my foot. And then a couple weeks after that, I was able to walk again. So it took a lot of time, a lot of painful days in the training room, a lot of days at home where I was doing things on my own, but you know, I made it out, and I think it made me a better person today.
Listen, fans never see that, right? We have no idea. Guys get hurt, they go away, they come back, but we don't understand that, like, you break your ankle, it takes 12 weeks before you can even put any kind of pressure on it at all and take that first step. That's really amazing. I think the average person does not know that. Really quickly, if we were to go back further, you played your high school ball at San Marcos down in San Diego County. What was it like to grow up down there, and when did you realize you could play football at a really elite level?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think the moment I realized was probably like my junior year. I think my high school coach, Coach Texler, we had like a conversation one day, and he was like telling me that I really had a really good chance to go. And I was like, you know, I always thought that I always had confidence in myself, and I always thought that I could, you know, play at the college level. It was always a dream of mine to play at the college level. And, you know, once I started getting college scholarships, I was like, wow, this is really a possibility. And then I went to, you know, college, and then there was like NFL scouts that were always at practice, and I was like, wow, like this is the real deal. So I think once, probably like my junior year in high school to my freshman year in college, was once those were, that was the moment when I really realized that I could really make this thing happen. And you know, and now I'm here playing for the LA Rams, but playing the divisional round against Tampa Bay.
Can't beat that. Last thought then. The divisional round against Tampa Bay, the world champs. You're going to face Tom Brady. If you want to watch any film on this old dude, there's more than two decades of film to watch. What is your number one focus going into the game?
My number one focus is just to play within myself. Don't try and do too much. Do what I can to help the team win, whatever that opportunity is. And Beat the Buccaneers.
There you go. He is a safety for the LA Rams, coming off a big game against Arizona. 5 tackles, again, 10 tackles in the last 2 weeks. LA at Tampa Bay Sunday, big game. Terrell Burgess, my guest. My man, great to have you on the show. Terrell, great talking to you. Good luck this weekend. It's going to be a big one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you
for having me. Appreciate you. Thank you. Good, positive, upbeat energy. I like that a lot. Okay, who you got? We talked about that game. We talked about that matchup. I'm not saying it because he has came on. I'm saying it because I believe it. I like the Rams. I like the Rams on the road. I like the way they're playing. I like their balance. I like that they're running the football. I like that they're getting it done defensively. And I know as quickly as TB44 gets it out, I know they're going to get pressure. And this is not a shock to anybody, but if you want to have success against Brady, you've got to pressure him up the middle. And I think they can do it. And I think they can do it consistently. Who you got? Who do you like? Rams picking up a little bit of karma. 1-800-636-8686. I've got an ATP coming up. If there's something you want to ask me, hit me up right now. I've got Alvin's week that was coming up. You don't need to worry about that. Alvin's got it. Alvin hit me with something last night. Kind of blew my mind a little bit. Alvin hits me with an email. Dude, you know, I've never been to Radio Row. I have to always work it. But the Super Bowl is in L.A. Do you think I can go? I'm like, damn, I hadn't even thought about that, Alvy. Yes, you may make an appearance. Maybe even two. Except don't be walking around there signing autographs. We do work it. You know that, right? It's not a vacation. In fact, not only is it not a vacation, it's pretty much the most challenging week of the year. You know that, right, dude? So ask yourself, before I sign off on that and take you off the board where you are very important and hand it over to Ritt, who's totally incompetent there. What can you do at the row? Ask not what the row can do for you, but what you can do for the row. If you have the proper respect for the row, you may show up on row. Albie has never been to Radio Row. Then again, it has been a pretty long time since the Super Bowl has been in L.A. Let's get you a sports update. In fact, let's get it right now. Here's Rich Ackerman. Get that AP, ATP, perform. Ask the pros, ATP. Ask the pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Damn, Rome. Leaking oil and dropping parts to the finish line. I got you. I'm there. Let's see here. Turtleneck Tan Man. When you go to the track and you watch your horses, how do you manage to watch the football games? Do you watch them there during downtime and record it at home and watch what you miss later? Yes. Both those things. It's a racetrack. They have multiple screens up. They want you to bet on anything and everything. And yes, of course, I tape everything. You know, for a long time when I got into the game, this business, I never left the house when games were on because I didn't want to miss anything. And then I realized that there is life that does happen on the weekends, right? But I am responsible for the games. So I tape everything. And if I can't watch it as it happens, I make sure I watch it before I come on the air. So I'm not talking about something that I haven't seen. So the answer is yes. And at the racetrack, the way the races work, when the races run, they run every half hour. So a race runs, and the race can be a minute or 2 minutes, and then you have 30 minutes of downtime until the next race. So you've got plenty of time, and they have the games up. So the answer is yes. JC in Calgary asks, does Janet still let you fly the Lakers flag on your luxury sled given the team's current place in the standings? Hashtag ask the pros. She doesn't really have a say on what flag I fly on my luxury sled. And for the record, I don't fly any flags on my luxury sled. I have nothing on the car. No stickers, no flags, nothing. Medium tint on the windows. Now, I did ram my luxury sled into her luxury sled one day, pulling out of my own garage. I did do that. Jim, did you ever compile your list of 75 songs? Your top 75? If so, where can we find it, and what are the top five? Jeff and Raleigh, good question. No, I did not. And I'm really surprised that KTK has not come back to me with that. He probably will now. I'll tell you what would make it, though. The song that I'm on right now, old song, but I've been hitting it on my workouts, Ceremony by New Order. I think that's a beautifully melancholy, sad song. And New Order actually is not a band I talk about. I love that band. Big fan of that. Total Big E. Jim, do you vomit in your mouth a little bit every time you have to read an ATP from Bella? No. No, Bella is one of my favorites. I don't play favorites, but Bella is one of my favorites. No, absolutely not.
They're all buttholes out there. They really are.
No, why would I? Total little E. Hey, Abby, you ready? If you're ready, why don't you do what you do and roll the best freaking segment in radio history? Welcome to the jungle. I would say what's cracking, what's going on. I would imagine some of you are having a very good day. I would imagine some of you are having a very bad day. I would imagine some of you are hungover and don't care. I would imagine some of you are hungover and miserable. Was the ending of that game yesterday not the most cowboy thing ever?
Yeah! But there's 8 seconds left and counting. They scurry up to the line of scrimmage. Down to one. It's down to zeros.
That's the end of the game.
The big fella, Mike McCarthy, if you need him.
He shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. That's what you're looking for.
Finding new ways to be truly awful and blow a game and a season and do it all at home. Eric Armstead joining us.
You know, I knew it was going to be close and tough to do that and get everyone set up. You know, it didn't work out for them, and we were definitely happy about that.
It's like having the hottest wife at a party, and she's wearing that LBD. So I get the hate, and that's our burden as Cowboys fans.
Picked off, a sliding grab in the end zone. Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde is my guest.
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. As soon as we were able to run out the tunnel, that energy in that stadium, driving to the stadium, seeing the people tailgating. You know, it was just one of those feelings that we just knew we were going to win.
Little Josh McDaniels, other than changing Mac Jones' diaper at halftime, then breastfeeding him after the game, McDaniels has rendered himself pretty much useless.
The Raiders have actually gotten fat as on beating
you can't say those things here. No, are you sure?
Yes, I feel like I'm an expert at this area, so I got you, Jim.
Why do you feel like you're an expert? You're like the worst at this area. You're the worst ever.
I got it.
All right.
The pass, Burrow looks, fires right side, and that is caught for a Bengal touchdown.
And Shaw's finally like, Joe Burrow, to me, he is so exceptional.
I've comped him to Wayne Gretzky. A play, two or three passes beyond that first pass. And the second part, he's Ray Donovan, man. He's straight up killing.
DJ, Jano, get up. What? Are you having a bad dream? No, I'm just dreaming about Mike McCarthy. I can't stop thinking about McCarthy again. Jimmo's just funnier and funnier every night. It keeps waking me up. Dwayne Finney-Smith is joining us.
You know, sometimes when you start missing shots, you start looking at your mechanic, but it really just be mental. Everybody go through shooting slumps. Klay Thompson went through a shooting slump.
Right.
Who am I to think that I ain't going to ever have bad shooting games? You know what I'm saying?
I'm talking to Chris Herring.
A note that he left on Nelson's desk was like, if you ever effing take me out of a game again, essentially I'm going to kill you. Don Nelson was playing Anthony Mason more than any player in the league that year. He led the league in minutes that year. No
more. I am baffled by his porn on Twitter with so many technologies and platforms available. I mean, come on, Curtis. God forbid the phone were to slip out of your hand and the like or retweet button inadvertently gets hit.
Uh-oh.
John Hines joining us.
There are really no days off. You know, I think there may be no practice or no meetings, but you've got to be on every day and you've got to manage your energy and manage your mindset the right way to give yourself the best chance to maintain success.
It's time to be the same ad that pops up every 10 minutes when I'm watching porn. I don't care that there's hot women 15 minutes away that want to meet me. I don't want a divorce. I just want to watch my porn in peace.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has no business going without his shirt. He's a Johannes. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, my beef is that nightmare-inducing plastic face caricature on the sideline. No, I'm not talking about Jera. I'm talking about Rowdy, that Cowboys mascot. War el pollo hombre.
Uh-oh, she's staring at me, Romy. I better go. Look out, honey.
Anthony Firkser, my guest. In your mind, what is the biggest key going into Saturday's game?
I think we just got to take care of the ball. And we've had turnovers and gave our defense bad field position. It's been, we've ended up with losses.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's the right call.
And added, he's a great coach.
I know how to win. I know how to win in this league.
I'm telling you, no one better than old Mike McCarthy. Just ask him.
Twitter.
Jimmers, big fat Mike should worry. Jimmers, big fat Mike should worry more. For those of you unaware, that's what is known as the fat alarm.
Playing the guys I thought were going to win the game.
You could have answered the question like, why don't we start with the fact that he can't make a damn shot? How about he's a defensive liability? How about he's a turnover factory? Bench the Space Jam.
Bench the Saw.
Dana White joins me in studio.
Vince McMahon couldn't write a better script than this.
Dana, why are you so fired up, man? How many cups of coffee did you have this morning?
None,
feeling
actually.
It? What are you running
on? I had a Randy's donut.
I love that. I got to get me one. What's going on, Greg? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Good, dude. Good.
I really wish you would just play some JD and Nashville takes every now and then.
The hell do you have to say for yourself, Eddie Munster?
I was exactly right. That was the feeling that I had, and that was exactly what happened. He drowned.
Head, how you living?
Well, better than loaf. You, Jim?
Hexy-poo, I put a hex on you.
Who loves you, baby?
That's the end of the game.
It was foible upon foible upon foible.
No choice but to get with it or get out of it.
No hombre pollo.
Bagaw!
Ooh, that's a great question.
I appreciate you, Jim. Thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'd love to.
Thank you. I'm going to the movies with my wife, man.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good night now!
Bagaw! That's Alvin DeLauro. The Alvin DeLauro that will make an appearance on Radio Row. And some of you are responding to that. S. Squirrel 2, quote, Alvy, you've never been to Radio Row. Tell me how my ass tastes.
Tell me how my ass
Yours,
tastes.
Parody Larry. That is incredible. Parody Larry has been on the road, but Alvy has not. Jamie in Green Bay. Alvin can do a manual in-person buzzer on Parody Larry if Larry crashes your show on Radio Row again. Polly Man. Go ahead, Alvy.
Give me back my son.
Polly Man, 34.
Carolina Panthers will win the Super Bowl.
Ah! That's Larry getting run.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that.
On the row. Polly Man, 34. War the week that was, and freaking War Alvin dropping dimes at Radio Row.
Dude.
Romy, I'm pumped that you're letting Alvin go to Radio Row. There will probably be some nice young ladies running around that spot. Sincerely, Pervin Meyer. Hump day. Now we're done.
They're out of Dodge.
My thanks to Houston Cougars guard Kyler Edwards. Rams safety Terrell Burgess. The enormous head that is James Kelly. I just retweeted his picks. I like them. We're mostly in line on every pick except for one. It is the divisional game weekend. Have a great time with it. Check it out. See you right back here on Monday. Have a great weekend. And thank you for listening, Clone. See you next time we're out.